But I've admonished him a couple of times just to make a joyous noise. If in doubt, make a joyous noise. Now here's Alan. Lord's blessing.
Well, I want to thank you this morning for coming. After that singing, my voice gets a bit raspy. Well, today is the day that we recognize Thanksgiving. What I want to do this morning, just very briefly, just for a few moments, I want to think about the areas in our own lives, your lives and mine, which we should be and can be thankful for today. Now, here's a few thoughts, and you can relate to them just as I can. The first thought I come to is about the sane minds that we have. Now, I'm grateful for what I have in my own brain. Sometimes it doesn't work too well. There's names that I seem to forget occasionally. But our brains are being attacked today. Your brain and mine is being attacked today. Globally, it's being attacked. Young people in particular, their minds are being attacked. And at times, these young people probably think that when they look at some of us, they think maybe there is something loose up there. But I say to them, we may look dumb, but we're not stupid. And it is true. You know, I remember one time walking into the TELUS booth in West Woodgrove Mall. And I have very little knowledge on computers. I have a little bit of knowledge on my cell phone only because of trial and error. But what I wanted to do was to get my phone working with the computer that was in my car, so that when I wanted to phone somebody, I didn't have to stop at the side of the road. And all I had to do was just, when the voice came out, I gave the number I wanted, and it works. It works very well. But I didn't know how to make it work. So I went to TELUS, and I walked in there, to their office, and I said, look, this is my problem. And she was about, 17, 18-year-old girl, you know. And I said to her, I'm having this problem. Can you help me? I said, I know how to clean a barn out real good, but I don't know much about computers. She laughed, and she said, you sound like my mom and dad, she said. We know very little. But what brains we have, I thank God for our sane minds today. That's one thing. Secondly, I thank God for our relatively good health. I know for many of us here this morning, there are issues. I remember a dear brother that used to come here to this assembly years back. His name was Bill Lindsay. Bill Lindsay was a chiropractor in town. Thought the world of this guy and his dear wife, Helen. But anytime anything came up that was questionable, he always used to say to me, Alan, there's always something to keep the rabbit's tail short. And I never forgot that phrase, and I thought it was quite humorous at the time. There's always something in your life, mine, that does keep the rabbit's tail short. But nevertheless, there is relatively good health. There are many people around this globe right now that would trade places with any one of us at any time. So let's thank God for relatively good health. Years ago, I was in Vancouver. I can't remember the assembly I was in, but I was with a dear brother by the name of Matthew Pollock. And he and I went to the service that day. And I can't remember who the speaker was, but he was quite powerful, went to the morning service, and then in the evening they had a prayer time before the evening service arrived. So we worked ourselves down into the basement, and we were waiting there for one of the other men to come down. We're waiting. This dear brother, he was the speaker that evening, and he said to us all, now he says, look, he says, the old body's getting old. He says, I want to inform you of something. He the carburetor isn't just like it used to be. Not like it used to be. He says it gets plugged up the odd time. And he says the cylinders aren't always running. There could be a cylinder missing. It's not always running. Then he says, I'm finding out the tires aren't holding air like they used to be. But he says, I want to inform you tonight. He says, there's nothing wrong with my horn. I thought that was cute. Thankful for good homes. You thankful today for a good home? Husbands, not too many husbands here this morning, but there are husbands. Are you thankful for your wife today? Are you? Make it a show and tell weekend. That's what I think you should be doing as a wife, as a husband. Get out with your wife and give her a good time today. Women need attention. I found that out with my two wives. They want you to listen. I have a coffee with a fellow at the odd time, and he says, Alan, he says, I'm having a real problem with my wife. And I said, what is the problem? He says, she says things, and I can't always hear what she's saying, and she's always accusing me of the fact that I'm not listening. And he says, I am trying to listen, but I can't always get through to her the fact that I am. You know, husbands, you need to listen to our wives. You know, women are very emotional beings. That's the way God has created you, ladies. You are emotional beings. And because you are emotional, you are, or like, little things. You usually like the little things in life. You want to talk about, sometimes husbands feel you talk too much about simple things. But husbands, we need to learn to sit and listen to the simple things that your wife would like to talk to you about. Something that happened in the home. Something that happened with the children. All these various things. Sometimes we don't want to listen. But we need to show good leadership in that area. Priorities. God first in your life and mine. I wrote beside it, a family altar will alter the family. And it's true. The family altar will alter the family. And so, men, we need to maybe revise our lives and recognize that, yes, there is an altar that we need to consider. Wives, to women, what are you thankful for? Well, you ought to be thankful for your husband today, and I trust that you are. Thankful for your husband. Tell him how much you love him. You know, there were many, many times that I told my wife, both wives, how much I loved them. But you know, I look back now and maybe I didn't tell them enough. Women need to be told how much they are loved. Coming from a man, I know this to be true. I'm old enough to recognize that. Women need to be told that they need to be loved. Give yourselves over to your wives. That's the idea. That's what women basically need in life. Give yourselves over to your wives. Women are emotional beings. Men are physical beings, and that's the way God has designed us. Women are emotional, men are physical. And when God puts this two together, he knows what is best, and then it can be a happy home. It is true. Thankful for good homes. Well, another thought I thought of is freedom in the land we live in. You thankful today that you're a Canadian? When I was over in Israel, not too many times, but three times it occurred, I had Palestinians coming to me. Actually, I found the Palestinians quite friendly, frankly. When they come to me, I had one or two, maybe three Canadian insignias on my hat. And I think I had one on my shirt or one on my it was on my front here. I had a belt thing. And they would come up to me and say, can I buy that flag off of you? They wanted the flag. They knew it was a Canadian flag, and so they wanted it. They wanted to take it with them. They were willing to pay for a flag. We need to be thankful for the fact that we have been born in this land. I thank God many, many times. You know, I don't know whether you all know this, some of you do, but I want to tell you something. I was born in Paradise Hill in northern Saskatchewan, and I keep telling people I've been born in paradise and I'm going to paradise. Not too many people can say that. Born in paradise and I'm going to paradise. I'm a citizen of Canada, and I'm thankful. We're born free here, born in a call in this land. Well, I want to look beyond the temporal, and we're going to turn to the scriptures in just a minute. We want to look at some of the spiritual blessings that we can be thankful for. Thankful for God's blessings on your life and mine this morning. Thankful. Thankful for being born again. Do you know what it means to be born again? I look at every one of you today, and I'm assuming that you all do know that, young and old, to be born again. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the very fact that God came into my life years ago and intervened. He caused me to think about my needs as an individual. I thank him for this very fact. As I get older, I recognize that one day, very soon possibly, I'm going to be transported into his presence. I thank God that I am born again. There's not everybody in the world that can say that this morning. Millions and millions who are lost. I see these big crowds in Rogers Stadium in Toronto. Huge crowds. I've been watching the baseball games, but I'm not watching them anymore. They're a waste of time to me. I love baseball, besides their losing, by the way. Now, baseball. I loved baseball, but I was looking at these crowds. 15,000 people in these crowds. People everywhere. Just crowds and crowds of people all over the stadium, and you probably saw the pictures. And in my mind, I was looking at them, you know, and wondering how many of those people know Christ as their Savior. Judgment Day is coming. They didn't know it. They don't know it. Enjoying themselves. But I was looking at all those people and the souls of all those men and women that were sitting there, some children, wondering how many of those people were redeemed. How many? So we can be thankful this day, thankful for the Son of God. Secondly, I can be thankful for the future. It is because I have met the requirements that I have a future. I've met the requirements. Have you met the requirements? What are the requirements? Well, we all know what the requirements is, at least most of us here do. The requirements are this, that you confess Christ as your Savior, recognize your need in life, and recognize that he has a plan for your life. And you can be thankful. I've met those requirements, have you? By knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, death has no sting for me anymore. You know, I often think that the day is going to come for every one of us to have to one day take our last breath. One day, we're all possibly, if the rapture doesn't occur, we're all going to take our last breath. You know, in some ways, I look forward to that anticipation. I really do. I really honestly can testify to you this morning that I'm looking forward to that moment. As I press on, I go on day after day. But one day, I'm going to have to face him. What a hope, what a prospect. Many of you have left husbands behind and wives behind. Think of the glory they're in now. Think of the joy that they're experiencing now. Would they want to come back here? I doubt it very much. I doubt it. So you and I can be very grateful. I am thankful for the hope I have too as well. It is called the rapture. And one day, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 to 18, I'm not going to read them, but we have a hope because of the rapture that's going to take place. Imagine, that split second, the moment in the blink of an eye, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus. Your garments are going to drop to the floor, and you're going to be gone, and you're going to be taken up to be with him forever and ever. I am thankful for the future dwelling place. Right now, I believe there is a dwelling place for me, and we know that. It is located in this place called heaven. Great subject, this place called heaven. And what is heaven going to be like? Well, of course, we have to turn to Revelation for all that, basically in chapter 21, to get detailed information on this place called heaven. Now I would like you to take your Bibles, would you please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to look at a few verses there, just four verses. I think we're going to be able to leave early this morning and get home to your turkeys. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 20 to 24. But I'm going to read two verses in the front, then we're going to go to verses 20 to 24. It says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, verses 20 to 24. And it says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you be cut off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." May God richly bless us, the reading of those verses. Many years ago, I saw a bumper sticker. I always try to look at bumper stickers, but I have to be very careful that I don't run up to cars too closely because I want to see what they say, yet we have to be cautious. But this one bumper sticker said, and I never forgot it, that was rather amusing. It says, "Why is it that I like things that are immoral, illegal, and fattening?" on this bumper sticker. And how true that is in your life. How, it says, what things are like that are immoral, illegal, and fattening. Now, in these verses here, Paul begins to speak about the old man and the new man in these verses. The old nature and the new nature. And you, each one of us here today, I trust, have an old nature and have a new nature. The verses 20 to 22, what is to put off, and verses 23 to 24 and 24, what is to put on. This is what Paul is trying to teach the Colossians. Put off the old flesh and put on the new. The Christian life, again, is compared to putting off not one garment and putting on another. Garments can get soiled. They can. Years ago, my first wife, Pat, and I were going to a special concert, and she got herself all nicely updressed, and so did I. We got in the car, and we drove from Parksville down to here. Stormy night, miserable night, dirty night. And we drove all the way down, and I went over to open her door, and I discovered that half her dress, about a tenth of her dress, and a part of her coat were hanging out the door. We had closed the door on part of her dress and coat. Well, now I tell you, when I opened the door, the dress wanted to lean this way because it was so heavy with water and dirt, a dirty garment. And oh my, I'll tell you how embarrassed she was. She didn't know what to do. Well, she got in and cleaned it up and was presentable. But you and I can have old garments. It is possible to be a new man in Christ and yet be living like an old man. That is having on the garments of rags. An old man, of course, is spiritually speaking. Put on the new garment and take off the old. You know, learning about Christ is the grandest subject that one can actually study. I am negligent on that at times. And I guess we can all confess that, can't we? The grandest theme today. The Word of God cannot work in our lives unless we receive it in the right way. It is true. Sometimes we can argue with God and His Word, if not audibly, at least in our hearts. Sometimes we can do that. And we have to be very, very careful. So many are in the tragic condition in which they hear not because they don't understand, or neither do they understand. And verse 21 says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That which they had learned after hearing of the Lord Jesus should have caused them to improve their lives. It's true. Dull of hearing. At school sometimes years ago when I was in my 11th and 12th grade, oh, I don't know why, but the teacher would get up and she would be teaching us something in English, which I did not appreciate and did not like. She would be sitting there teaching us, standing, walking back and forth in the front of the classroom. And I'm sitting in my chair, and I got my hands folded on my lap, and I'm looking straight at her with a little smile. But I am not listening and not hearing one word she is saying. And it's because it was dull of hearing, I was thinking of something far different, altogether different, outside of the school entirely. Dull of hearing. Are you guilty of that at times? Dull of hearing. We have to be very keen in what we hear and listen to. Now you see, if the seed of the word is to be planted in our hearts, then we must obey the instructions. That's a real lesson for me. If the seed of the word is to be planted in our hearts, then we must obey the instructions to listen. A servant is quick to hear his master's voice, and a mother to hear her baby's smallest cry. Years ago, I used to hear babies in the back, in that back room, and one time, I think there's two or three babies in there, and one would start crying, and a certain mother would jump up, and she would run to the baby. And I never used to know how in the world she could discover what baby was crying up there, because I certainly couldn't. But mother knew. She knew the baby. She knew the voice. So the believer should be quick to hear God. In verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. You see, this is the Adamic nature, that which we are in ourselves. We all have it. The old nature is no good. I've heard people tell me that a little baby coming, little child that can't speak, can't express, can't do anything but really look. And they try to tell us that they don't have a sinful nature, that they haven't got that nature at that time. I've had them tell me that. How can that little baby, so sweet, so tender, the skin is so soft, and it is. And people try to tell me that that child does not have has a sinful nature. Well, just give it a couple of minutes and you'll discover that it has by the screams it'll put forth when it's hungry. A child does have a sinful nature. Now, if we don't get angry with sin, we don't have much strength to fight it. We don't. Angry with ourselves because of sin. How many men particularly, and women who are behind bars today, who, because of anger, had committed a crime, a felony, that will cause them to be in prison for the rest of their life. Anger. So we have to be careful with anger. Anger control. We often rebel because it tells the truth about us. Sometimes. How do we prepare for this? Well, God's word cannot be planted in an unprepared heart. The heart has to be prepared for God's word to be planted soundly. Well, how do we prepare? Well, for the unbelievers, it's confessing of sins. That's exactly what it is. Meditation in the word. Seeking God's love in your life and mine. Asking him to plow up the hardness of our hearts. You have a hard heart this morning? If you come this morning with a hard heart, I have in the past. I know what it's like to have a hard heart. Is your heart hard this morning? It needs to be plowed up. in order for God's word to be implanted. What's your attitude this morning? What's my attitude? Do we have a sense of meekness before us? Attitude. Too many of us, we mark our Bibles, but our Bibles don't mark us. And that is true. Too many of us. There used to be a dear brother. He lives in Vancouver now. He used to live up in the Saanich Peninsula. I knew him very well. I won't mention his name for fear he'll get back to me. He was a dear brother. But in his previous years, he used to travel to Victoria by truck, delivering commodities to different stores over there. But he had a foul mouth. It's called a sailor's mouth. Bad mouth, this boy. And he really didn't understand why he was... I understand why he was using the words he did. What he was doing was trying to express to others about what he was trying to say. So he used to use these words in the sentences that he was trying to bring out. Well, he said these words one time too much to one dear brother in the Lord. And you used to play your piano for your organ or your piano with him when he used to sing. And he's dead now, he's gone. But this dear brother put his arm around, I can tell you his first name, Brian. Put his arm around Brian and said, Brian, listen. And Brian knew him very well because Brian used to travel to the location where he worked. So Brian would back his truck up and then Brian would start using these abusive words. So Bill Sims is his name. Do you remember him, Norma? He had a wonderful voice. Bill Sims put his arm around Brian. He said, Brian, he says, every day you come in here, he says, do you know that you are using a name that I love dearly? Do you realize that every time you name the name of Jesus, you're hurting me? I want to cry. You're hurting me about the way in which you are using his name. Brian, you need to think about this. And Brian tells us that in later years, he said, that was the one time in his life that he was approached about his language, about his tongue. And it was through that as Bill got to know him even in a greater way as he continued to come to the place to deliver these groceries and various things. Brian says it was that very moment, he said, I realized what I was doing. And Bill, over time, gave him gospel tracts, and Brian was soundly saved and went to Sydney Chapel for years and over to Vancouver. But it was approaching him and telling him how much he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brian, you're doing wrong. It's hurting me to hear you name the name of Jesus in the wrong way. And he brought Brian to the Lord. So our former conversation, using the Lord's name in vain. Now, there is one or two thoughts here regarding what to put on in verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of our minds. What minds we do have, we need to renew those minds daily. Put on the new man, it says in verse 24. The final test of salvation is fruit. That's what the final test is. We want to do what will please God. That's what I want to do. Is that what you want to do? I want to do that which is pleasing God. And particularly as we get on in years. I don't want to be ashamed. Try not to be ashamed of my entry into his presence. I heard a Jewish man one time, just to reinforce this, I heard a Jewish man many years back at a men's prayer breakfast in Victoria. There was quite a few of us there, actually. And he was telling us a story about him and his wife. They had an orange grove down in California. And the orange grove was it was thriving, doing very well. And actually, they were doing very well financially in this orange grove. The problem with it is that his wife was a believer and he wasn't. Now, in this orange grove, every tree was planted in straight lines. You could look down diagonally this way at 45 degrees, and the trees were planted in a straight line. You could look this way and see the trees planted in straight lines. But there was one orange tree right in the point where it was lining up with all three lines. One orange tree. Every year, the orange tree would come out with beautiful leaves, just as every bit as green as the remainder of all the trees around, but no fruit. And so the man that was working in the orchard, he finally came to this Jewish fellow, and he said, "Look," he said, "we got to cut this tree down and start all over." No, he says, "let's just leave it." Now, in the meantime, he was fighting with his wife, giving her a hard time, because now here his wife had become a believer in Jesus Christ, and she was praying for him on a constant basis. She would come in, he would come into the bedroom, and she'd be on her knees praying for him. And he'd come along and kick her on the side, or he would do something that would be abusive towards the woman. But she was faithful and kept praying for him. And finally, over a period of time, he couldn't take it anymore, finally accepted Christ as a Savior. He's telling us this. He said, "I had to get on my knees," and he said, "I jumped on my knees, got on my knees right beside my wife, weeping over the fact that I needed to get right and apologetic in the way in which he was treating her." He said that very year that he got saved, that orange tree began to produce fruit. Isn't that amazing? For years, it was desolate. Nothing, no fruit. Looked every bit as good as the others, but no fruit. And it began to produce oranges every bit as good as the remaining. So the final test of salvation is fruit. When Jesus Christ examines us, he always uses his word. We need to gaze, not glance. Where there was blindness, thank God there's sight. Where there was darkness, there's now light. And where there was captivity to Satan, there's now liberty. You thank God today that you're a person who knows what it is to be liberal. You know freedom, to have liberty in your life. Think of that. We don't need to be under any kind of bondage at all. Are you under bondage this morning? Is there something in your life that's keeping you from really knowing what it is to serve the Lord? There are times when that happens to me. I don't deny that. But we need to understand that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto thee the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. To be enlightened, think of that. Millions of people who are in total darkness have no idea what's happening to them, have no idea what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. They have no idea about their eternal position. How sad. How sad. And here you and I are here this morning, benefiting from the truth of God's word and enjoying what it has for us and how we can apply it to our lives. How grateful we ought to be. How grateful we ought to be. Christ opens a heart by opening the eyes. He does not lead us blindfolded. Never does he leave us blindfolded. Are your eyes glazed over? Are they? It is through the eye gate that the minds are reached. Usually, whatever attractions we have in life are seen through the eye gate. Years ago, there used to be a man, missionary in South America. And I know his name so well, but here goes this mind. John Mundy. Do you remember John Mundy? John Mundy had trouble with his eyes. Do you remember that? He had trouble seeing. I don't exactly know what the problem was, but I met him at Vic Chapel one time on Pandora Avenue. He was telling me that he was gradually going blind. But then he went and had some surgery done. If I'm right on this, if I'm not, raise your hand, repeat what I'm saying. He did go and have surgery on his eyes. And again, one time at a men's group, he stood up as after the surgery had taken place, and John said, I'm careful with this very point. I can't govern what I look at, but I do govern those things which I could take a second look at. I can't govern what I look at, In other words, those things that come to me, I automatically look. I look at what I see. But I'm very careful if that what I look at is questionable and looking a second time. And I thought, how interesting. How important that is, particularly for men like myself and others. We can take caution in looking a second time. John Mundy, one time. So, it's through the eye gate. As we read the Bible and intelligently try to understand the Bible, it begins to take effect and we begin to become wise. Do you want the wisdom from God? Well, it's only God that can give you that wisdom. The wisdom of the world is in the wrong direction. Someone has said, if you and I are traveling, which we are, and we're not sure of our destination, then we're lost. If we don't know where our destination is, we're lost. This last trip I took to Manitoba, I'm merely going on my way. I had good music on the radio, and I was singing, and I was having an beautiful day. Then all of a sudden, I come onto a border. And I thought, well, I'm not supposed to be going to a border. I discovered I was in the wrong direction. I hadn't watched the signs carefully enough. And I got to this border going down to the United States. So I had to turn around. I had to go back 100 kilometers to get back onto the road that I wanted. It was the wrong destination. Well, if you're traveling, and you are in life, I am. And if we're not sure of our destination, then we're lost. Do you know of your destination? Do you know what your destination is? Do you know where you're going? Or what direction you're going in? We need to recognize that. We need to see that. I'm thankful for the very fact that I know where my destination is. I know that, thank God for the very fact that I'm His, and I know where I'm going. I know the position I hold in Christ. No one can take that from me. No one. Isn't that wonderful? You and I, one day, are going to glory, and we're going to be there for eons of time, never ending. How thankful I am for that, the future. I have a future. You have a future. So grateful for that. Let's sing. I don't think we can. Oh, yes, we can. Hymn number 40, please. Hymn number 40. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been there, thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Hymn number 40, and then we'll close in prayer. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, I see them shining. Thou hast, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to
faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, mercies I see. All I have need, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright morning for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's pray. Father, again, we want to come into thy holy presence. And we trust that what has been said this morning will indeed be a challenge to our hearts. We're living in bad times. We're living in evil days. And our Father, we need to refresh our thoughts regarding what we have in Christ. We have to realize that the end days are very fast. How much longer, Father? Well, we don't know, but we do, you know. We know that you know. And Father, we rely upon that. Help us, for some of us who are getting on in years, some of us who have difficulties, we have issues in life. But our Father, we ask you to strengthen us. Give us that hope, and we have that hope in Jesus Christ, the hope of his glory. We thank you for all the blessings that are ours today. Thanksgiving Day, remind ourselves of what we are thankful for in Christ. We ask it in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Hallelujah.